Blog Talk Radio.
Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond.
Hey, yo, world.
You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go.
What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? Of course, it's your girl, Miss Diamond, and you have just tuned in to Interviews with the Stars. I hope everyone is all right and enjoying this lovely evening, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe it's watching TV. Maybe it's watching a movie. You know, maybe riding around. Maybe you're at work. Whatever it is, I hope you can stay with me today. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show. I have a lot of great music coming up for you. I got a hot interview today for you with the wonderful songwriter, producer, Preston Glass. Today's show is dedicated to all of my faithful listeners. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today, you know? So if you want to chime in on today's topic, which is a very hot topic for you today, then hit me up on Facebook. My name is Ms. Diamond, Hot Topics on Facebook. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Ms. Diamond 313. So right now, I'm going to play You're the Only One by Eric Benet on Facebook Success Radio. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Magic of us.
but when you find it, you stay together.
Turn in some old gangster shit. So y'all can roll up to this one. Yeah. Y'all going to give y'all coops, you know what I'm saying? Bounce to this. Sing it.
Your love is a 187. Mm-hmm. Taking me.
Baby, drop the bomb on me.
Drop the bomb on me.
I'm don't know what this girl's doing to me, you know what I'm saying? But she definitely got me on a 187 shit. Word. Yeah. So if you come out your crib, just remember, wear bulletproof vest.
Welcome back, welcome back. That was the Whitehead Brothers with Good Love is a 187. And if you've just tuned in, of course, I am your girl, Miss Diamond, right here on Interviews with the Stars. You can check me out right here on Facebook Success Radio each and every Thursday at 5 p.m. So today's hot topic is motivation. What a better way to start the show with being motivated. So let me tell you, motivation is literally the desire to do things. It's the difference between waking up before dawn upon the pavement and lazing around the house all day. It's the critical element in setting and attaining goals. And research shows that you can influence your own levels of motivation and self-control. So figure out what you want, power through the pain period, and start being who you want to be, not who the next person wants you to be. So today I'm going to talk to you guys, and I'm going to give you a few top motivational tips. So stay tuned right here on Face Up Success Radio. Let's all get motivated together, all right? Next up, You Get No Love From Me, Faith Evans. Stay tuned. Be right back. Well, that was a jam. That was Michael Jackson with Lady in My Life. Oh, I love that song. Love that. Hope you guys are enjoying the show today. I hope you guys enjoy the music selections. If you guys have a song that you would like to request, hit me up, of course, on Facebook at Miss Diamond Hot Topic, and I'll make sure that I get that on for you. So today's hot topic is motivation. OMG. First and foremost, how many times have you put yourself on the back burner to motivate someone else? I mean, really, in reality, if you are a person who only puts yourself on the back burner to motivate the next person, how does that really make you feel? Do you get motivation from that? Well, if you do, that's lovely. But today I'm going to talk about how to motivate yourself, because oftentimes we put our dreams on the back burner, we put ourselves on the back burner to motivate someone else and their goals and their dreams. And I'm just here to tell you that you can follow your goals and you can follow your dreams as well, and you can get that same support from others as well. So today I'm going to talk to you, like I said, about motivation. You know, so for the last couple of weeks I've been thinking about motivation and posting about motivation, and I came up with a list of things that you can do, you know, a combination that'll definitely help you achieve your goals. I mean, achieving your goals is not a matter of having discipline. It's a matter of motivating yourself and keeping yourself focused on your goals. You know, you can use any combination of these things, and you should have the motivation and the focus you need. You know, first and foremost, I think you should chart your progress. I mean, recently I posted about how I created a chart to track my progress with each of my goals. You know, this chart is just not for information purposes only. It's for me to be able to look back and to see how I'm doing. It's to motivate me to keep up with my goals. If I'm diligent about checking my chart every day and making dots or X's, then I want to make sure that I fill it with dots. I will think to myself, I better do this today if I want to make a dot. So I set personal daily goals for myself, and at the end of the day, I make sure, boom, there's a dot by that because I did that, okay? Well, that's a small motivation, but it helps, trust me. Some people prefer to use, hey, gold stars, whatever. Others have a training log, which works, you know, just as well. Or you can name it after yourself, Diamond's Motivational Goals. However you do it, track your progress. Allow yourself a bit of pride each time you give yourself a good mark, because that's what you really want to do. You want to see your goals. You want to track your goals. You want to check them off as you're making them, and you want to still continue to look at your progress. But now you will have some bad marks on your chart. Don't forget, you know, sometimes you don't get to do the things that you wanted to do that day, or you set out to do, or how you planned it, because things may have happened. That's okay. Don't let a few bad marks stop you from continuing. I want you to strive instead to get to the good marks next time. Okay? So that's what you need to do right here on Face Up Success Radio. I am your host, Miss Diamond. Keep it locked. We have the awesome writer, awesome producer, Preston Glass, coming up next hour right here in the studio.
At the mall, couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet.
Handle it for me.
I was only there to hang, wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce, and then I saw Miss Lady.
Then I said to myself,
in her hand, right in front of Macy's.
That's where the pretty girls hang.
Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on her cell phone, looking so amazing. And I said to myself,
there she goes,
oh, well,
there's only one for me, that go my baby. to my mama house.
Be talking to now.
If she need a hair done,
my cousin can.
I'll treat her like a queen, give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray.
And I knew it from the moment that I saw her lovely, lovely.
Damn.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Miss Diamond, and we are back. And if you want to get in contact with me, of course, I'm going to give you guys that option. So hit me up on Facebook. My name is Miss Diamond Hot Topics. You can also follow me on Instagram, which is Miss Diamond 313. And I'm your host right here on Facebook Success Radio. This is Interviews with the Stars. Later on this hour, we have in the studio Mr. Preston Glass. It's an exclusive interview you just won't want to miss. I mean, stay tuned, sit back, relax, and definitely enjoy it, okay? It's going to be a hot one. So today's hot topic is motivation, all right? So, you know, I think you should post a picture of your goal someplace visible. I mean, near your desk or in your refrigerator, visualizing your goal exactly how you think it will be when you've achieved it, whether it's a financial goal like traveling to Spain or Rome or L.A., you know, whatever, or building a dream house, or a physical goal like finishing a marathon or getting a flat stomach. It's a great motivator and one of the best ways to really actualizing your goals, which is to visualize it, to actually see it, you know. Post pictures of that Bentley you want. It is what it is. You want it, post it, and do whatever it is you need to do to get there, you know. Find a magazine photo or a picture online and post it somewhere you can see it, and not only daily, but hourly if possible. I mean, make it your screenshot on your phone, you know. Hey, put it a picture on your visor or something. So when you get out your car before you go to work or before you head out for the day, pull that picture down and look at it. Visualize it. Get it in your head. That's exactly how it works. Put it as your desktop photo or even your home page. Use the power of your visual sense to keep the focus on your goal, because that focus is what will keep you motivated over the long term. Once you lose focus, you lose motivation. So having something to keep bringing your focus back to your goal will help keep you motivated. With me, I post pictures. I write myself little notes. I even set little alarms. Hey, check your goals. Let me look at my list. Let me make sure that I'm doing exactly what I need to do to get to the next level, because that's definitely what it's all about. Maybe you should get a workout partner or a goal buddy. You know, staying motivated on your own is tough, but if you find someone with similar goals, such as running or dieting or even your finances, et cetera, see if they'd like to partner with you or partner with your spouse, your sibling, a best friend on whatever goals that they're trying to achieve. You don't have to be going after the same goals. As long as you are both pushing and encouraging each other to success, what good is it to sit back and be motivating the next person when they're not motivating you? I mean, really, who does that? But hey, this is all about you. This is all about motivating yourself and making it to your goals, you know? That's my philosophy. When I come back, I'm going to give you a few more tips on how to motivate yourself to get to your goals, to reach your goals. It's all about faith. Have it. It's there. Work really hard at it. Don't slack off for nobody, and don't put yourself on the back burner for nobody. You know why? Because at the end of the day, it's your goal, and you need to achieve it. So today I'm here to motivate you to do just that, right here on Interviews with the Stars.
Fine. My memory first is a house on the couch in special to me. We're gone. We had to be on the low, cause they were on their way home. We started kissing and it led straight to the bed. I can't believe this happened, so I'm thinking in my head. Lasted like a minute, but it seemed like forever. We almost got caught, but I'm just too damn clever. Her parents came home from church and I was out of there like a drop of a dime. Man, I will never forget my first time. Whoa.
Flying high. Finally fly off into NASA. You was always the cheerleader of my dreams. It seemed to only date the head of football teams. And I was the class clown that always kept you laughing. We were never meant to be, baby, we just happened. So please, don't mess up the trick. Hey, young world, I'm the new Slick Rick. They say I move too quick, but we can't let this moment pass us. Let the hourglass pass right into ashes. Let the wind blow the ash right before my glass. So I wrote this love letter right before my classes. How could a goddess ask someone that's only average for advice? OMG, you listen to that, bitch? Woe is me, baby, this is tragic. Cause we had it, we was magic. I was flying, now I'm crashing. This is bad, real bad, Michael Jackson. Now I'm mad, real mad, Joe Jackson. Usually your boyfriend now,
so
I'ma
gotta
ask
take
him.
The good with the bad. Bring a better future than I had in the past.
Oh,
cause I don't wanna make the same mistakes I did.
That was Knocks You Down by Keri Hilson and featuring Neo. Wonderful, wonderful song. So we're back, of course. You're live right here on Face Up Success Radio. And, of course, I'm your host, Ms. Diamond. Hope you guys are enjoying the day, enjoying your evening, you know, whatever it may be, you know. But first of all, I want to say thank you and I appreciate you for being exactly right here where you are, right here with me, you know. Let me take you on a journey, you know. I'm going to keep talking to you guys about motivation. You know why? Because it's very imperative to your life. You know, it's very imperative to where you're trying to get to, you know. So I want you, here's another tip. Just get started, you know. There are some days when you don't feel like heading out the door for a run or figuring out your budget or whatever it is you're supposed to do that day for your goal. Well, instead of thinking about how hard it is and how long it will take, tell yourself that you just have to start. I mean, I have a rule, not an original one, but I have to put on my running shoes when I'm going to the gym, and I close the door behind me. But after that, it all flows naturally. It's when you're sitting in your house thinking about running and feeling tired that it seems hard. But once you get started, it's never as hard as you thought it would be. You know, that tip right there, it works for me every single time. Also, with your goals, give it time. Be patient. Me personally, I sit back and I relax, and I do what I need to do daily. I make a list of what I need to do, I check them off. I reward myself, or I set myself back a step, because at the end of the day, I know that it's not going to happen overnight. I know that this is easier said than done, which is giving it time and being patient. But the problem with many of us is that we expect quick results. When we think about your goals, think long term. I mean, if you want to lose weight, you may see some quick initial losses, but it will take a long time to lose the rest. If you want to run a marathon, you won't be able to do it overnight. If you don't see the results you want, trust me, please don't give up. Give it some time. But in the meantime, in between time, be happy with your progress so far and be happy with your ability to stick with that goal in the first place. The results will come if you give it time. Again, that works for me all the time. Understand that we might have goals and we might approach it in a certain way, and it might be a huge goal, you know. But it's okay for you to break that goal into smaller mini goals. Times larger or longer-term goals can be very overwhelming. After a couple weeks, we may lose motivation because we still have several months or a year or more left to accomplish that goal. It's hard to maintain motivation for a single goal for such a long time. You know what my solution is? Have smaller goals along the way, you know? Often, it's another tip for you. Reward yourself. Hello? And not just for long-term goals either. I mean, really. When I talk about breaking larger goals into smaller goals, well, each of those mini goals should have a reward attached to it too. Make a list of your goals with mini goals next to each. Write down the appropriate reward. Appropriate, I mean, it's proportionate to the size of the goal. Don't reward yourself going on a one-mile run with a luxury cruise to the Bahamas. I mean, really, keep it real, really. Two, it doesn't really ruin your goal. If you're trying to lose weight, don't reward yourself a daily dose of dessert binging. You know why? Because it's really self-defeating. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go to the gym, get on the scale, and notice, I lost 10 pounds. I'm excited. When I leave here, I'm going to McDonald's to get me a double whatever, whatever, extra whatever. Don't do it. It's just not worth it, you know? It's not. It's very self-defeating. You can also set yourself back on those small little goals that you've made by doing things that's not really on the same path of what you're trying to get to. Find inspiration on a daily basis. Very important, very imperative. Inspiration is one of the best motivators, and it can be found everywhere. Every day, seek inspiration, and it will help sustain motivation over a long time. You know, sources of inspiration can include blogs, I mean, read online success stories, forums, your friends, your family, magazines, books, music, photos, people you meet, even people like myself. Miss Diamond, Hot Topics. I am here to motivate you guys to do exactly what you need to do to make it to the next level in your life. Stay motivated. Don't give up. And you know what? Don't worry about it. Sit back, relax, check your goals, check your list. Oh, I'm doing it, you know? And continue to push forward. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, be positive in the same token. Please, please, please make sure you are not messing up or messing over the next person in order to try to get to your goals. Karma is a bad mofo. Well, I'm going to jump into a song for y'all. I'm going to play Bliss by John Legend featuring Teyana Taylor right here on Faith Up Success Radio. Coming up next hour, I have Preston Glass in the studio. Please don't miss this. Stay tuned right here. It's your girl, Miss Diamond.
It's crazy the day you stepped into my world. would get some tips from me. Oh, I love the way we live, boy. But my daddy say you don't need that boy. So let's run away. Let's run away. Wait, wait. Mama say I'm too young to love. And loving you's all I'm thinking of. My heart tells me that you're the one. It's the feeling you give. You got the key to my heart. If we'll ever touch in a kiss. Never knew a feeling like this. Pure bliss, pure bliss. Nobody can tear us apart. Baby, you're as good as it gets. Loving you will never be hard.
Remember when the pilot closed the door, said it's time for liftoff. You said, what'd you choose me for? Well, don't ever wonder, 'cause you deserve the best. Once you reach the top, you'll never question why you left. Oh, my world is yours. What you waiting? Let's run away. Let's run away. Our friends say we're crazy, but we can't listen, baby. They never had it like this. They don't know what it is.
You're blessed, like you got the key to my heart.
Oh,
simple as a touch and a kiss. Never knew a feeling like this. Nobody can tear us apart. Baby, it's as good as it gets. Loving you will never be hard.
Well, 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 welcome back. That was Bliss by John Legend and Tiana Taylor right here on Faith of Success Radio. I want you guys to continue to listen. Coming up next hour, I have wonderful, phenomenal songwriter and producer Preston Glass in the studio. He's going to bring you guys a couple tips on how to be motivated and chase your dreams in your career. It is what it is. Well, here's another tip about motivation. Make it a rule to never skip 2 days in a row when you're chasing your goal. I mean, this rule takes into account our natural tendency to miss days now and then. But, you know, I'm not perfect, so I know you ain't perfect. But anywho, if you miss one day, the second day is upon you. You must be feeling lazy. Tell yourself no. You will not miss 2 days in a row. I mean, just make it a habit of following your dreams and your goals every single day. Do what you need to do. And just as you get started, you can thank yourself later. Another goal for you, another tip for you. I'm going to give y'all one more tip. That's cool. Keep a daily journal of your goals. If you are consistent about keeping a journal, it can be a great motivator. A journal should not only have what you did for the day, but your thoughts about how it went, how you felt, what mistakes you made, and what you could do to improve. And about keeping a journal, I mean, do it right, you know, right after you do your goal task each and every day, make a list of things that you did and the things that you want to do the next day. It's called plan ahead. I mean, what better way than to map out your day and map out your goals, check them off as they go along? To me, it's just all about being organized. I don't know about nobody else. That's just me. But I think it is very imperative that you follow your dreams and you follow your goals. So coming up soon in the studio, I have Mr. Preston Glass.
A producer is a lot like what a director in the movies is, and that is overseeing the sessions, anywhere from picking the material, the songs, picking even the keys of the songs. Sometimes it even means writing the songs, depending on if the artist doesn't write or not. The writing process could be anywhere from coming up with a title first that sparks the melody, then that sparks the lyric, or it could even be a groove. Like I might be driving and hear something on the radio that, man, I want to write something with that kind of a groove. So I may call the house and just sing, you know, a groove like, you know, just sing that into the answering machine and then come home and write something over the top of that. If I'm driving and, you know, L.A. traffic is horrendous, so I might not get home for a couple hours, so I will call my answering machine with the idea. So at least it's on a recorded mechanism, and then once I have that down, so I don't forget it. But a lot of times when I write, like, it's funny, it might sound contradictory, but I just mentioned if I'm asked to write a song for Whitney Houston or, let's say, Patty Austin or somebody, I'll sit down with that purpose, but it seems like 7 times out of 10, the song ends up being with somebody else. First you have nothing, right? Then you might have a song title. Then the song title inspires you to write a melody. Then the melody inspires you to write lyrics to that title and that melody. Then all of a sudden you have a song. It's not recorded yet. It's not demoed yet. But that, I'd have to say, is my favorite part of the process, is taking something from out of thin air with the gift that you have, and then it becomes all of a sudden something.
There you have it. You have just heard from Mr. Preston Glass today, my special guest in the studio.
How you doing?
Songwriter, producer. How are you? Welcome,
great.
welcome to Interviews with the Stars.
Hi, Ms. Diamond. How are you?
I am amazing. How are you?
That sounds like the word of the day. I'm amazing. I like that. All right. And thanks for having me.
No problem, no problem. Like I said, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio today, and, you know, I really appreciate your time today as well.
Great, great. Wanted to just share, I heard a little bit of what you were saying about reaching your goals, and that's 100% my attitude since the time I was 6 years old. So I think it has proved to be a testimony that if you think success, then you will be successful.
I love it. That's, you know, that's what I think. That's what I teach. That's what I preach, you know, just in general, every day-to-day life. You know, you have to just follow it. You have to believe in yourself. If nobody else believes in it, you know, where does that really lead you? Where does that take you?
Right, nowhere.
So who are some of your greatest influences, your greatest inspirations? You know, who motivated you?
Well, it's a combination of music people and people that were close to me in my life. Of course, my family, my mother and my father, they were always supportive of me from the time I was knee-high to a chicken, as they say. And
okay.
And neither one did music by profession, but they did by hobby. My mom played a little classical piano, and my dad played a little blues guitar, but they always had music around the house. So the records that were playing became also something that was influential. So a lot of the artists I grew up on, I'm a child of the 60s, so, you know, we're talking about James Brown and Motown and on the R&B side, but I even liked some of the pop sounds too, and then started getting into jazz. But as I got became a preteen, the people that probably influenced me the most were songwriters and record producers. I started noticing on the records these other names of people, and they would be appearing on records that I liked more often than not, because it must have been that I liked their style. You know, everybody, we're talking about Holland, Dozier and Holland, Smokey Robinson, but also people like Gamble and Huff, Tom Bell. We're talking about even on the pop side, like Burt Bacharach and Carole King. So those became probably the biggest motivators, because at a very early age, I decided that's what I wanted to be, specifically a songwriter.
That's amazing to even just go from, you know, thinking about the music industry as a whole, and there's so many things that you can do, to
right.
just narrowing it down to, or starting off saying, I want to be a songwriter.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sorry, go ahead, go right ahead.
No, I want to say congratulations on being a 5-time BMI award winner. I mean, that is, I'm sure, an amazing feeling for you, and, you know, your family and the people you work with.
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of inspiration and assistance along the way. And even one of those five BMI awards was for a song called Miss You Like Crazy that Natalie Cole did, and I co-wrote that with Michael Masser, who is one of the greatest songwriters of all time. He wrote The Greatest Love of All that George Benson and Whitney Houston did, and many other hits. And also who co-wrote that song was a gentleman that just passed away a few days ago, Jerry Goffin, who wrote Natural Woman for Aretha Franklin with his wife Carole King, you know, his first wife, and you know, many, many other hits. So, you know, I was fortunate to be able to write that song with them, but fortunate to write with a lot of great collaborators, both legendary and also newcomers too, future legends.
Well, we definitely want to send our condolences out to him and his family, you know, at their trying time right now.
Yes,
but he definitely left a legacy with that song. You know, you guys did an amazing job with me singing Like Crazy. I mean, one of the hottest songs that Natalie Cole has ever done.
Thank you. Yes, she really sang her heart out on that. So, in my travels as a writer, I started learning how to become a producer, which is, you know, a big part of making a record. You can have a great song, but if it's not produced right or arranged right, then it might, you know, fall on its face. And, in fact, production is so great that sometimes that makes the song. You might have an average song, but because the production it draws you in or draws the listener in, it can be a hit. So I learned production from Tom Bell, as well as Narda Michael Walden and Maurice White from Earth, Wind & Fire. People like that were, I guess, teachers of mine. And I went on to do some things on the production side. I started a production company with my older brother, Alan Glass. We had Glass House Productions. We did people like George Benson and Jennifer Holliday. And then my wife and I started Glass Slipper Productions, and, you know, we did Earth, Wind, and Fire, and a lot of other people. But I always had one eye on new talent, and especially looking at young songwriters like myself. So I was glad I was able to bring along some up-and-coming songwriters who blossomed and was able to fly on their own wings.
That's wonderful. You guys have had Glass House for 20 years, maybe?
Yeah, between Glass House, which merged into Glass Slipper, it's still going. Still going.
Yeah,
so it was back in the 80s, so that tells you how old I am. I started when I was a baby. But.
Yeah. very young, you know. Tell us about Acapulco Heat. How did that come about, you know, being featured in that?
Oh, a song. Well, you know what happens sometimes when you write songs. I primarily wrote songs for records or albums, or as today they say, CDs. And music supervisors, or sometimes it's actually the producer or director of a movie, they may hear, or a TV show too, they may hear a song off from those CDs and say, that would be good in this scene, or that would be good for the opening or the ending. And so from time to time, songs of mine get placed in television shows or films or movies. And 9 times out of 10, unless I'm involved in the production of the soundtrack, that's how those things happen, including the that Acapulco Heat. That was an old show back in the 80s.
So I see that film TV producers such as Kenan Ivory Wayans and Quincy Jones, Sidney Poitier, and Jeff Franklin have came to you, you know, for cuts for the TV shows. I mean, how does that feel? I mean, how does that make you feel when, you know, you got that first call from one of the TV producers saying, hey, I need this from you. I need you to produce and write this for me. How does that feel?
Well, it's actually an awesome feeling now as I look back. And, of course, while it's happening, staying focused, I was always... one side of my brain was, you know, jumping for joy, but the other side was realizing that they must be asking, you know, for my talent for a reason. So I got to give them the goods and be professional and not be a fan. I mean, you know, while I am a fan, but they're asking me to work with them and give them the best song I can. So you usually, once that happens, you look back and you can enjoy what you might have accomplished. But while you're grooving, you're keeping it moving.
Oh, I know that's right. So you've had the pleasure of working with an uncountless amount of people. Is there anyone that you haven't had the opportunity or the pleasure of working with?
Oh, there's many I haven't worked with. And if you were to maybe ask me who I would like to that I haven't, there's a lot too. Stevie Wonder is probably at the top of the list, because I think, like with a lot of those artists that I worked with, I was able to learn a lot from them. It's one thing to work with them, but when you're able to grow from your experience by working with them, that makes your life richer and your career grows as well. And I just think Stevie would just be able to, I would be able to learn so much from him just being around him and getting, you know, that genius rubbed off on me. But you know, there's so many, even some of the younger artists. But again, I tend to gravitate toward the writers, and you know, I like some of the young writers out there. Of course, Neo is one of my favorites, and then there's some artist writers, including like Alicia Keys, people like that.
Great. So who taught you how to write, or is there a specific way? You know, there are others who are in the industry right now or trying to break into the industry. I want to be a writer. I want to be a producer. You know, is there a specific way to write, or who taught you how to write?
Wow, that's a good three questions there. Let's see. First of all, it's a gift from God, so I know that. But in order to take it to the next level, make it a career, or you know, be a professional in it. In my case, I look back and I know I had an older brother, like I mentioned, who taught me some chord changes, and then. My parents were always supportive of hipping me, as they say, or exposing me to artists of the day by, you know, buying albums and going to the record store. Then when it comes to learning how to write, it was basically studying other writers, And we're talking about listening to music. And I was very specific in studying the form of songs. You know, well, what is a chorus? What is a verse? What is a bridge? What is an intro? You know, I remember I was like 3 or 4 years old, and like a lot of us from that era, we saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and you know, I was one of those kids that was just sitting there analyzing. Well, of course they're screaming, and you know, they sound good, but these songs. Now, where did they get these songs? And then, you know, I was told and learned that they wrote these songs. Okay, and so I started studying the way Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote their songs, words and music. But I think I started getting my own style. Like everyone has their own style of things. Once you start learning how to do it, you develop your own way of doing it. And you know, there's a certain way I write. I'd say it occurs about 90% of the time, but other times I might write it in a different way. But I usually start out with a song title, and then I find that once I have a title, that kind of sparks me into what kind of melody or what kind of groove, whether it is a ballad or up-tempo, and what kind of chord changes to put to that title. And then once I have the music, then I'll write the lyric to that title, because the title kind of lays it out for you, what the song's going to be about. But again, you know, sometimes things come to me in a different way. And a lot of times I collaborate, too. I don't always write the song by myself. So I might bounce an idea, or I might get an idea off of that other person. So, but if someone were to ask me, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, yeah, if someone were to ask me, how do you write a song, or how can I write a song, you know, how would they write a song? It might be totally different, but I think what it comes down to is study your craft, study those that are good at it, study everything if you can. You may end up being a specialized writer in whatever genre of music, but still it can't hurt to study everything, because the more you know, the more the wider your influence is. So that's what I would tell.
Great. I get a lot of youngsters who are trying to break into the industry or looking for the opportunity to intern, and you know, sometimes they ask, well, how did you get into radio? And when you're talking to, you know, different celebrities, what do they tell you about how to write, how to produce, you know? And I'm always looking for ways to inform them on how to continue to move forward with whatever they want to do, whether industry, photo, TV, you know, acting, whatever.
Yeah. I think you said a good phrase there, move forward, because what worked for me, or how I got in the door back in the late 70s, early 80s, really doesn't exist now, because there used to be record companies or publishing companies that signed staff writers. They would look for young talent, see somebody that had some potential, allow them to sign with their company. And then they would get a small advance, and that way they could focus on writing songs all day for whatever projects. And fresh out of high school, that's what I was able to do. But these days, there's not much of that, but technology and the industry's changed so much. It's important to move forward with what's, you know, what the opportunities are now, and even keep a mind on the future. You could even be a person that helps create what the new, you know, the new thing is, you know, always, the one good thing about the way, you know, because a lot of people complain about, well, the record industry has died or is dying, or it's not like it used to be. Well, on the positive side is there's so much forward movement in technology and the ways that you can share music. Yeah, and it's not always about, well, you know, you can't make any money. Well, yes, you can. Just ask Pharrell Williams,
yeah,
you know, a few other folks. So, you know, it goes back to writing good songs, but, you know, using the technology of today.
try, but if you don't actually move forward with actually trying, then it'll never happen.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that's what it is in a nutshell. That's what I get. Well, I want to play for the fans and for your listeners today, System of Survival. So,
all right.
I'm going to play that, and when you come back, we're going to talk about it and how that come about. All right?
Sounds good. All right.
All right. So.
Reagan is gearing up for what may be the most important news conference of his presidency.
The biggest unanswered question is, where is the money?
And death, fearing that media attention will spark more suicides.
The sum of that cash was diverted to a secret CIA slush fund.
And faces off with Iran-Contra investigators, and often...
I'm not going to tell falsehoods to the American people. I'll leave that to others. I'll leave that to others. I'll leave that to others.
Unanswered question is, where is the money? Where is the money? The president has yet to address the issue of money.
Yeah.
still do not have the answer to that money.
That was System of Survival right here on Faith of Success Radio. In the studio today, I have songwriter, producer, Preston Glass.
Hey, hey.
Hey, welcome back, welcome back. So that song, System of Survival, was, I mean, to me it was like such an upbeat tempo, you know. It was something like, let me clean up the house. You know, you cut something on like that, or you were getting ready to go out and hang out at a nice afternoon barbecue. And that was by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yes, yes. That was a song that was co-produced by myself and Maurice White, of course, the founder of Earth, Wind & Fire, and my good friend. But I did not write that song. That song was found. Now, this shows you the perseverance of the writer. We were having rehearsals with Earth, Wind & Fire and writing sessions at our studio, and a songwriter named Skylark came to our studio, and actually I believe it was our secretary at the time, or somebody there, told him we're not really looking for songs, because he wanted to show a song for their album. So what he did was he waited until the end of the session. And we had taken Maurice and Philip Bailey back to their place that they were staying, and they had a rent-a-car. So the next day when they came in the office, they said, I found a tape taped to my car door, to the handle of the door, and we listened to it on the way to the studio. Let me play it for you. And then we all were knocked out. Actually, it was that song, and it was demoed out very well. So well to where we, of course, we wanted to meet the person that wrote it, and he, you know, is a great musician, bass player, but really plays all the instruments, and we found that out by calling him up, and he ended up playing on the actual session, and then he went on to work with the Doobie Brothers and the Jacksons, Denise Williams, a lot of people. So, but it was all because he persevered. Someone told him, well, they're not looking for songs. If he would have gave up, there would be no System of Survival. So he said, well, I'm going to get the song to them some kind of way. And he taped it. He taped a tape. That's a very old word now.
Unusual.
Tapes, yeah. But it shows you the time period we were at. But, yeah, so we loved the song. And it was actually a number one R&B and dance hit.
Yes, I was just going to say that song went number one. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, and congrats on Skylark and for keeping his focus and vision and persevering. When someone said no, he just said, well, I know this is great. I'm going to find a way to get it.
No doesn't always mean no.
Right.
It
That's
could
a good
be
song
not right now. Good. Then maybe I can be featured on it. We can work together.
All right.
So, tell me, what was the highlight of your career?
I can't really pinpoint one thing. You know, obviously there were maybe
you
some
highlights.
You set
the bar pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, there's some, obviously getting my first publishing deal, which basically, well, first of all, I was signing with someone when I was 19 years old. That was my musical idol, let me put it like that. A lot of people may not have heard of him, Tom Bell, but he wrote songs like Betcha by Golly Wow for Stylistics, produced that stuff. He was the first producer to win a Grammy for Producer of the Year, because back in the old days, there was no category. And the first year they had that category in 1974, he won. So, and, you know, he was one of those guys that I looked on the label and saw his name and, you know, would hope one day I would get to meet him, maybe work with him. Well, not only did I end up meeting and working with him, but I signed with his company. So that was a big thing right out the gate. But working with a wide variety of people like Johnny Mathis, who, you know, from the old school, but one of the most professional and easy to work with guys. That was probably a highlight. Maurice White, Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, growing up listening to them, they, you know, they're the quintessential band. They produce their own records, so for them to even call me, I'm like, well, I wonder why they're calling me, because they don't need no producer. That's what I was thinking, but I guess they wanted some new blood, and so that was definitely a highlight also.
So your fans may or may not know, but we're going to let them know that you teach music at UCLA.
Yes, the music courses that I was asked to teach were not really, I guess they weren't theory-based, or it was not teaching a musical instrument, or it was more about the business of music. In fact, one of the courses was called Songwriting in Today's Music Business. And while I focused on the craft of songwriting and brought in guests that also were songwriters that had some success, I also made sure that I kind of told my side of the story on publishing, producing, what it is to, you know, kind of survive in this business. When you say business, it's that right there tells you that that's a side that a lot of people need to learn, but some don't get the opportunity to. But so I said, well, if I'm going to get a forum to be able to talk to people, I'm going to, you know, share as much as I can to help people get a little bit of a light on how the business is run. So I don't get a chance to do it as much, but, you know, I'm constantly on music panels and seminars and things of that nature.
So with, you know, with that type of course and meeting different types of students from, you know, all different ranges, is it only about music, or do you talk to them just basically on the business aspect of the industry period, such as acting or actresses?
Oh. No, my thing centered around music. It wasn't entertainment, because I'm not an actor or involved in that side of the industry. So it was basically about music, but rather than just focus on the creative part, which that was a big part of the courses, and I met a lot of great talent as students, and because it was an extension course, there were some, I won't name any names, but there were some artists that took the class, recording artists.
Okay.
That somebody might know. You know, they said, oh, is that, you know, I remember looking out at the class and seeing that person looks like so, and it happened to be that person. And they just basically said they wanted to, actually what they said, quote unquote, I had a number one hit as an artist and I didn't write it and I didn't make much money. And I told myself, okay, I got to learn how to write songs. And that's why they took the course.
Oh, nothing's wrong with that. You know, whomever that person is, you know, knowledge is definitely powerful.
Right.
So.
Right.
Who exactly, so, you know, you've produced many tracks and you've written, you know, many songs. Who are some of the people that you are working with right now?
I'm in the process of, well, I just finished a song with Brian McKnight, which that was a joy to work with him. And, you know, he came in and knocked it out real fast. It's for a group from overseas, and he did the vocals on it, so that was a joy. And getting ready to write some songs for In Vogue, as well as the OJs. So those are more the I guess you would call it established groups, as well as working with some new artists. I released a solo album on May 13th called Soul in the Rearview Mirror, and I had a listening party the day before, which had some young talent that I've been nurturing, so they got to perform. And, you know, some of those are going to be artists that I'm going to be working with. But I also had established artists like lead singer for Tavares, Chubby Tavares, and I'm also starting to work on a solo album for him because he still got it. So,
try
and work with both established artists and young artists, because I think it helps to pass the torch to the younger ones with what little knowledge we have.
So, what inspires you really to when you want to write a song? I know you said that you start with the title first and then you just kind of go along, but is there a specific mood that you have to be in order, to write a good song? Or is it just, anything that pops in your head throughout the day? What
that's
inspires
a good question.
You to write the song?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I obviously, I've been doing it so long. I mean, I started at age 6, and I'm 54, by the way. So most of my life I've been doing it, and it's like eating to me. you can't go too many days without eating, so I can't go too many days without writing a song. But there are things that inspire me more than others, and obviously one of the things is when I know that I'm getting ready to work with an artist or even collaborate with a writer that I've always wanted to write with or am excited about doing that because it could be a new artist or a new writer. So those things inspire me, or special projects. There's a project just donated a song to called Global Music Unites, and the CD will be digitally available on Monday, the 30th, through my friend David Nathan. And so that's something that inspired me to be able to come up with a song for that, because that's for the charity of feeding people in areas that have hunger issues. So special things, whether it be just being musically inspired or special projects, all those things help to ignite the fire.
Wow! So what? This might be even a tough one for you as well. But what was or what is your favorite or has been your favorite song that you have written or you have produced, like at an all-time high on the list? It could be many, but what is one of the top one or two?
Well, thank you for making it a little easy. It's hard to just pick one because, I'm sure you've heard that expression, they're like your children. Songs are like your children. And it isn't based on, at least in my case, it's not based on what went high on the charts or what was most successful. But one of my favorites is Kisses in the Moonlight by George Benson. I just love the way George did that song, and I love the way the production was done as well as the arrangement and everything. So that's one of them. Aretha Franklin did Who's Zoomin' Who, which I co-wrote with Narda Michael Walden and Aretha. That's one of my favorites. So, and then there's songs, that I have sitting on the shelf that are probably some of my favorites. I call them house hits because they're hits around the house. But,
right. Unreleased projects. Unreleased nuggets.
Exactly.
And
they may see the light.
We want it.
Yeah.
Don't be selfish with that stuff. Give it to us.
Yeah. Well, sometimes a song finds a way out there through an artist liking it or a producer liking it or a record label liking it. So sometimes they like stuff that, I wouldn't expect them to like, and sometimes they don't like stuff that I love. So that's why some of those songs are just sitting there. But that's why I like doing my little solo projects, because things that maybe don't see the light of day elsewhere, I can put them on my album. So.
Well, we're going to take a break. I'm going to play Kisses in the Moonlight just for you.
Perfect.
I know. and then we're going to talk about your solo project as soon as we come back.
All right.
So for those of you who have just tuned in, this is Interviews with the Stars, and my special guest today is Mr. Preston Glass. Here is Kisses in the Moonlight right here on Facebook Success Radio.
Thank you.
Doesn't want kisses in the moonlight.
Yeah, all right.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the studio, you guys. This is Miss Diamond and my special guest, Mr. Preston Glass.
Hello, everyone.
So you said that was one of your favorites.
Yeah, I just love the way that George sang that song. And it's one of those songs I never get tired of hearing. So it's a funny thing, though, when you hear a song performed by someone else that is not yourself, it's almost like, you know, that you didn't really write it anyway. You become a fan again, so you kind of have to pinch yourself and go, oh, no, I wrote that. But that's one of those that I am proud of.
So, and congratulations to that. I mean, you know, you've worked hard. You've had an amazing career. And like I said before, you've set the bar really high. There's not a lot of writers and producers, you know, that are on your level, I can say. So congratulations to that and all your hard work.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a labor of love, though. While it is hard work, especially to maintain a level of stability in this business, it's something I love doing.
Great. I mean, you're doing an amazing job. So, I mean, it seems like you have followed your goals and you've motivated yourself, and look where you are now. I mean, think about if you would have said, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I quit. I give up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, along the
where
way,
would you be now?
You know, whether it be at the beginning, there was always those that encouraged me, whether it be directly, you know, someone saying, you know, keep on doing it. Or maybe indirectly, maybe just by saying, I like that song, you know. And I'm talking about early on when I was a teenager, whether it be teachers that I had at school, music teacher or something. So, and that still happens today because you have peaks and valleys, and, you know, that includes your emotional tide too. So anytime someone says, that's a nice song, I really like that inspires you and inspires me. So I appreciate it. All the fans that have told me that and that do listen to my music.
Oh, definitely. You've been, you know, timeless classics, you know, 30-plus, 10 top R&B hits, 5 top 10 pop hits, you know, the 5 BMI awards. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, when somebody says, I love that song, or, you know, that song really meant something to me, you know, songs really do change people's lives. I mean, you know, a lot of people are music lovers, and that's how they live their life, you know. I'm going to listen to a song, and I'm going to feel better.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. Songs have changed my life. And that's why when I did this listening party for my CD, I only played about 3 or 4 off of my CD. The other maybe 30 songs we did were songs I grew up on that everybody knew and could sing along with and felt good about because, you know, those are songs that changed my life.
Okay. So you had the listening party in May. So tell us a little bit about that solo project.
The solo project is called Soul in the Rearview Mirror, and it's available I have a website, PrestonGlassMusic.com, but it's also in traditional ways you can get it, you know, iTunes, Amazon.com, CD Baby, and all that stuff. But it's really my 5th solo CD, but really the 2nd one that I've done all by myself in regards to playing all the instruments and things of that nature. I had some help writing some of the music on this one. On some of my earlier solo CDs, I had a lot of guests, which is kind of the way I was preferring to do it because I kind of was shy about coming out as an artist. As I mentioned, I'm a songwriter first. So I would always have my support group, and I was fortunate on my first CD to have people like Al Jarreau and Johnny Mathis and things, you know, like that. This album here that was released on May 13th, I do a duet with my daughter, Jamia, and I also have some backing vocals by a talented young new artist named Terrell Williams. But other than that, I did everything myself, including writing the songs. Well, I wrote a song with Reggie Calloway and my wife called Who You Choose, that is a message type tune, and I also wrote a tune with my brother Alan called Spine Chiller, and one with Sharon McMahon, who's had many hits as a songwriter. I wrote a tune with her called Do Over, but all the other things were done myself. 17 tunes on there, so it's kind of jam packed, and it really takes you through pretty much a soul ride. That's why I call it Soul in the Rearview Mirror. Taking you back, you know, it's kind of got a retro feel, so it's kind of like taking you back to the times when soul music made you feel good, made you think, made you sing along, made you dance. And while the material is all original, it still has a feel like you might be listening to some music from that era.
So speaking of that era, I mean, how do you feel about, you know, the difference between
today's R&B and, you know, the way the music is going now and how it was when you first began music?
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I don't really like, but then there's some things I do like. And I think, you know, some of the lyrical aspects of some of the music is a little irresponsible because it doesn't. I'm using that word because
I like that.
Yeah, I guess on the if I were to just kind of be surface about it, it doesn't leave much to the imagination, and it's
okay.
Not very creative.
Okay.
And then on the music side, being a musician, I think the same is true too. You don't really hear a lot of musicality there. Now that's not across the board. There's some great new music out, some great new artists out, but they may not be the ones that are at the top of the charts. You have to kind of dig, at least in my opinion,
okay.
to find them. And that's primarily, I think, because of the industry has changed. You know, back in the day, there was, you know, maybe 100 record companies and maybe 10 major labels and with subsidiaries, and a lot of those people had great ears. Whereas today you might have 3 labels and maybe 1 person with an ear. And so that's why it's incumbent upon the artists I know to put out their own music. And I think that's a good thing that you can do that now. Back in the day, you couldn't do really, other than to your family, you know, make a tape for your family. This day and age, you can reach millions through the technology. So, and you can be free to do what kind of music you want, and I think that's good. I think what artists my age and people from that era that may be tempted to say, you know, they wish music was like it was, I say, well, if you wish it, then help bring it about. You know, teach some of these younger ones how to play an instrument or how to be clever with lyrics and some of the methods that great lyricists use to write really thought-provoking things, and study some of the great songs. The thing about great songs, they don't die. I mean, you can always take an old Paul McCartney, John Lennon song or a Holland Dozier and Holland song and rearrange it with the production, and it'll sound like a brand new, you know, brand new 2014 car, you know. And in fact, it'll probably sound fresher than anything out there. It's just the way you produce it. So songs, good songs, especially if you learn the craft, will never die. And I think, you know, I think that's something that is lacking a little bit because people are not, it's more of a microwave world now. You know, you hurry up and do it, put it in, get it out. But, you know, when I was growing up, you studied things. You really kind of let it marinate. And you, because of your studying all this great music, you were able to infuse it in your own music. So some of that needs to be, I think, done a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You've worked with some pretty amazing people. I mean, from Kenny G to Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, Lionel Richie, Diana Ross, Earth, Wind & Fire. I mean, you know, even some more respected favorites like Lenny Williams and Phyllis Hyman, you know. So I think with, you know, the genre of music and the era in which you started in music has definitely changed from then to now. And, you know, like you said, microwave, put it in there, hurry up and get it out.
I was fortunate that I think when I was coming up, you had to learn your craft and you had to be on top of your game to even say you were a songwriter or say you were a musician, or, you know, and a musician meant, yeah, I know what a G chord is and a F sharp, and, you know, and even if you didn't read music, you had a way of putting it down, and there was a mutual respect for other artists out there and other writers. So I don't think it's too far gone. I think what's great is, you know, that music is, you can access those songs and that music from those times easily now. Even if you don't have the quote-unquote records, you can go on YouTube and listen and study, and then try and apply it in your own style. I'm a proponent of while you should study, you know, that's just for the purpose of learning how it's done. The main thing is you got to have your own thing. And unlike what, you know, some record company people or maybe some management people may try and sway you and say, you know, you got to be more like, Rihanna or be more like Miley Cyrus or whoever it is. You know, be like yourself. And if you have some little remnants of styles, that's cool. I mean, I'll go back to that song I mentioned earlier by Pharrell. I mean, if you listen to the structure of that song, musically, it's got all kind of stuff in there. It may sound simple because you got a little simple, the title's happy, but there's some like blues stuff. There's some Ray Charles kind of stuff in there, and then the chorus goes to a completely different key. Now, the average Joe may not know that, but they're moved by it. So if you know how to do what Pharrell did, you're that much more on top of the game as opposed to not studying music and not knowing how to do those tricks he did.
Also, and speaking of, I know you mentioned YouTube earlier, so in speaking of social media, you know, social media is huge right now. Tell your listeners, we're going to get ready to end the show in a minute, but before we do that, tell your listeners exactly how they can contact you via social media and your website as well.
Yes, I'm on Facebook, so I have two Facebook pages. One is a personal page. I always wear hats, so if there's another person glad, you know, I'm the one with the hat on. And then my fan page as well. It's just Preston Glass Music. And then my website is www.prestonglassmusic.com. I have another website, too, that you can reach me. My wife and I have a company called Personal Touch Recording. So it's personaltouchrecording.com. And that's basically it. And, I always look forward to hearing from what my fans and my listeners have to say.
Great. So is there anybody in specific you want to say hello to?
All my fans. And those that maybe haven't checked me out, there's a lot of folks that haven't heard of me or may have heard my music but don't know my name. So please check out my new CD, Soul in the Rearview Mirror. That'll give you a good glimpse into what I do. And then, of course, wherever you go, whether it's iTunes, it'll take you to all my other music out there.
Well, there you have it. I want to say thank you so much for your interview on today. I'm going to post links on Facebook for the listeners out there on Facebook of Success Radio. My Facebook page is Miss Diamond Hot Topics. You can access this interview right here on Faces of Success Radio. We want to thank Mr. Preston Glass for, you know, gracing us with his presence today and his knowledge and, you know, telling him we really do appreciate him for that. You've been an amazing guest.
Thank you, Ms. Diamond. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh. And so we're going to end the show with Missing You Like Crazy right here on Faces of Success Radio.